about, maybe you can remind me about having your the eyes of your understanding. Remember? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Remember you, the choir? You were singing it this morning? What was the words like that? It's open the eyes of my heart, Lord, and I want to see you, okay? If God does not open your eyes, I'm not talking about, all right, here we have natural eyes. If you don't have these, you just cannot see. You cannot see the light. You just cannot see to drive. You cannot see to read or anything like that. So you need your natural sight. But there is another eyes that I'm speaking about this morning is the eyes to your heart. It's called the eyes of your understanding. Just like, all right, in the natural, if you're blind, you cannot see. In the spiritual realm, if your mind's, the eyes of your understanding is blind, though you have good sight naturally, but you just cannot see the things of God. So your eyes have to be enlightened. It has to be open. So the choir was singing this morning, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, because I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to understand. And Paul, that's scriptural. Paul dealt with it. Jesus dealt with it because when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with two of his disciples, you remember that? Jesus was walking with two of his disciples. What happened? What happened when he was there? I want you to just help me there with the scripture where the eyes were holding that they couldn't see. Anybody remember that? Very simple. In the gospel, after his resurrection, their eyes were holding and they could not see. And Luke 24, I wanted up there to read it. Luke 24 and verse 45. Let's read that. Let's get that scripture quickly. Let's Luke 24 and verse 45 says, then can I go up a little bit? 44. Can just switch up to 44. And it says that, give it to me. And he said unto them, that's Jesus. Let's read. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. And I want you to pay attention now to this. Get it in your mind. So you won't just say, well, the Bible is, but look. That all things must be fulfilled. You reading? Luke 24. You got that? I want you to see. 44. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? In the law of Moses. And in the prophets. So on the Mount of Transfiguration, who was with Jesus? Moses and Elijah the prophet. So he had the law and he had the prophets. And everything in this book, the law and the prophet, must be fulfilled. That's for sure. And also he had another one. In the Psalms. So you have Moses, the law of Moses. You have, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning him, concerning me, concerning Jesus Christ. So if I wanted to find something about Jesus, if I want to get my understanding enlightened, where would I head? Where would I go? I would go to the Psalms, wouldn't you? This morning, Sister Joy was reading the Psalms. Sister Rosie read this morning in Revelations and also in Psalms chapter 2. Where did she go? Did they find Jesus there? Were they speaking about Jesus Christ in the Psalms? Did I write in one of the blogs there about the Psalms that they were quoting? And about the law. Moses, the law. You find him right there. And also in the prophets. So I need the Moses, I need the prophets, I need the Psalms. And that covers the Old Testament. Shows that it's the Word of God. And Jesus, notice what he did. Jesus went and he was now talking to his disciples. And he brought up the scriptures, all of the scriptures, to them from Moses. What I would have loved to be there. From the prophets and from the Psalms. Verse 45. Then, notice what he did. Then open ye their understanding. All right. He said, Lord, I want my understanding to be open. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. But open it to what? What do you want it to be open to? Because Jesus said to the disciples, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. Now the eyes of your heart are your eyes of your understanding is your heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I might see. That means I understand. When you understand, you're seeing. And Jesus then opened their understanding. See who you see has to do it? Well, Jesus Christ opened your understanding through the Word. He can open your understanding through the law of Moses, through the Psalms and the prophets. You have to have that. Somebody say amen. He opened your understanding that they might what? Why did he do it? That they might understand the scripture. So you have to get your eyes open, your understanding open, and someone has to direct your mind into the Word of God for you to understand the scriptures. And verse 27 of the same. Go up to verse 27, then we'll come back here quickly. Verse 27. And he began at Moses and all the prophets. Notice, he began at Moses, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. No, you don't leave them in order. Said, well, this one is too hard. You find Christ in every one of those books. All of those prophets, they testify about Jesus. And that's what makes you love the Bible. And beginning at Moses, that means Genesis, and all the prophets, all of them, don't leave any of them out. Hear what he did. That's a powerful word. He's not just talking about and mixing it up and says, well, you need material stuff and No, he wasn't talking about that. He expounded. What a powerful word. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures. So I feel like shouting. In all the scriptures. The things concerning who? Himself. Because, guess what? Jesus is the kingdom. He's the king and he's the kingdom. And he was talking about himself from the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And he expounded. He pulled back the curtain and lifted the shadow and the darkness and opened their understanding that they could see him. And that's what Jesus has to do. And he does it through the ministry, through the Word of God, the anointing, the Holy Ghost, and lift the veil of darkness that's over our eyes. The blindness and the darkness. So we could see the things concerning him. Next verse. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Look at what Jesus doing. Look at that. See, he made as if he was going to go further down the road. And Jesus will do that with you. But you have to feel after him. You have to invite him. You have to get his attention. You got to let him see that you're really, really getting the message. If Jesus was only talking and then, oh, yes, yes, and then goodbye, they would have missed it. Like how many times we come to church and we don't get it. It's not great. We say, oh, well, I'll get the rest next Sunday. And God doesn't have our attention. You know why? Because the minds of our understanding, the eyes, is not open. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther on. But notice, but they, here's what you have to do. If you want to know and understand the things concerning Jesus, concerning the kingdom, concerning the resurrection, concerning the second coming, you have to constrain Jesus. But if you treat it that jar just like any other lesson, any other subject, you won't get it. See, because Jesus Christ, it's up to you whether you want him to move on or you want him to stay with you, to invite you. You want to invite him. But they constrained him. Saying, look what you've got to do. Look what you have to do. Have you done anything like this lately? Or you don't even remember him? Huh? They constrain him, saying, abide with us. What does that mean? We don't just want you to visit us, but stay with us. We have room in our hearts for you. You're not just a visitor or a guest or someone we meet while walking on the road, but we want you to stay. They constrain him. If you want God to be with you, you've got to constrain him. When you feel like that Holy Ghost is lifting, don't let it lift. Hold on to God. Hold on to the Lord. Hold on to the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Open up to me, Lord. Beg the Lord to open up the word of God to us. You've got to constrain the Lord. Hallelujah. As he expounded to you, and you constrain him to keep giving you more. And don't leave me, Lord. For it is towards evening. Look at it. Lord, I want you. Constrain him. Because it's almost over. The day's almost over. Man's day. Man's government. Man's rule. The system of the beast. The kingdom of the beast. Babylon. Mystery Babylon. It's almost over. It's evening time, and the darkness is here, and you've got to constrain light, constrain Christ, constrain the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. And it's not just saying Babylon, 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 and you're in Babylon. That doesn't cut it. You have to have a knowledge, a constraining knowledge, an abiding knowledge, a knowledge that holding on to God. That a revelation of Jesus Christ where the blindness and the ignorance is lifted off of the human family. It's not just saying you're in Babylon and I'm not. And I'm the body and you're not. Those are light words. But you want to have a knowledge of God. You want to have something bubbling up in your soul. You need to have a revelation of Christ. You need to know who's walking with you. And remember, unless Christ comes in the house, it's not a church. It's not a church because I say it is. But it's the presence of God constraining influence of God with Christ expounding it. Speaking about Christ. For it was towards evening. Listen. And the day is far spent. Paul tells us, man's day. He said the night, which is a day. Man's day is really night. Okay? Man's day, man's government, we're in darkness. We are sleeping. We are spiritually dead. We're in man's day, the world. My kingdom is not of this world. Man's day, 6 days. It goes back, Daniel tells us, the beast system. You can trace it right down to the toes. But you can also trace another kingdom, which is the little stone that's not a part of man's kingdom. We heard it. It's not a part of the government of the world. But it was hewn out of the mountains without hands. It's a kingdom of God that's coming upon the earth. And it says it was towards evening. The day is far spent. The night, rather, is far spent. The day is at hand. That's the day of the Lord. Awake. So Paul said there's got to be an awakening. Awakening to the fact that we need Jesus. We need a life to get out of here and get over into the coming kingdom. The day is at hand. And he went in. Notice, he'll come in. And he'll sup with you. And he went in. And went in to tarry with them. How would you like to invite Jesus all night long? How would you like, the sun is going down and you invite Jesus to stay over? Have you ever invited Jesus to sleep over, to stay over? All night long. All night long I've been with Jesus, a song said. And you begin to love on him and cherish him and realize that he's your king. He's your Lord. He's your Messiah. And tell him how much you need him. And to listen like Mary for him to expound the word of God to you. Let him open up the scripture. Let him break the bread to you. And you begin to eat from the master's hands. And he went in and he tarried with them. And it came to pass as they sat at meat with him, with them, Notice, let him do it. Let him do it. You don't try to feed him. Let him feed you. Are you listening now? You don't tell him what you want. You don't tell him how to break the word, how to open up the word of God to you. Let him break it. That he took bread and blessed it and break it and gave to them. They could not forget that because they see this before. Remember they saw it with the little lad's lunch? How he blessed it and break it. Nobody breaks bread like that. And now what was he doing? He was breaking the greater bread himself and the law and the prophets and Moses and the Psalms. That's what he wants to do for you today. He wants to break the everlasting bread of life. To give us life and more abundantly. I feel like shouting. And something is going to happen. Something is going to happen to you. Your eyes that are closed spiritually. And you've been going to church but you can't see. And you have the same little testimony. The same little doctrines. You go over the same mountains. And it's a long time. Since you've had a revelation from God. It's a long time since he's broken a piece of bread and gave to you. It's been a long time. And you might look very good up front. But deep down when you're by yourself. You know you're boring, dry, dead. And you don't understand anything. And we need a fresh piece of the bread. And Jesus says, here is my flesh, my body. Which was broken for you. Hallelujah. Here's my blood, my spirit, my Holy Ghost. He said, when he break bread and he handed to you the word himself, what's going to happen to you? Your eyes, shout somebody. Your eyes were open. Their eyes were open. And they knew him. Hallelujah. How? Through the broken bread. The broken word. You're not going to know Jesus by just running after some preachers. No. Or even changing churches. No. It's a revelation of the broken bread. And his body was broken on Calvary. And he said, come and dine. Children, do you have any meat? Come and dine. Hallelujah. Their eyes were open. And they knew him. They knew him and he vanished. Notice this. He vanished out of their sight. But remember, he was gone in the natural, but the word was still there. They were still chewing on that bread. And the next verse says, and they said one to another. Look at that. Look at that. Now, when you begin to have this word in your heart, you've got a message for yourself and an experience and a testimony for somebody else. Yeah. And a lot of us, we share testimony, but there's nothing there. Just talk. Oh, I had a little dream, so. I want to hear what happened to you. The experience you had after you hit the broken bread. When you heed the word. Like you can stand on your feet and begin to explain the word. The resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. You can stand up and say, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Because there's something going on in your heart where you love God more than you love a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband friend or a wife friend or a house friend or a car friend. If that's all we get our excitement over it, is very shaky. But you put God first. And all things shall be added unto you. Package deal. And they said one to another, listen to this. Listen to this. When last has this happened to you? Eh? For you to have this experience, you got to stay in the scripture like Jeremiah. Jeremiah hit the word. He talked about the word. He had the word. And brother, even when he didn't feel like testifying, there was something going on. There was a fire on the inside. He said, I feel a fire shut up in my bones. And look at the experience. And they said one to another, listen, did not our heart burn within us? You're going to know when you're getting closer to Christ, you're going to feel the fire. I said you're going to feel a fire. You won't be cold or dry, but you'll be on fire. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise the Lord, somebody. Get the fire. He says, her heart's burned within us while he talked with us, by the way. And while he opened, somebody shout, open. While he opened to us the scriptures. That's what we're doing. You with me now? It has to be open to you. You've been going to church a long time. You know why you're up and down like that, like yo-yo? You're not hearing nothing. You say, but I'm smart. I know what the news. You're not hearing nothing. It takes more than that. It takes more than politics. It takes the word of God. It takes not only that, but you got to stay in it until your heart, your soul get on fire. Your heart pop open the eyes because you're blind. But wherein once you were blind, but now you see. They rose up. Look at that. The same hour. Somebody say, I can't go till tomorrow. They just came from that place. And now, with a burning heart. You're not listening. Yeah. They rose up the same hour. Remember, it was getting to be night. And didn't wait till morning. And returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. Here's another miracle. It was night now, and they were gathered together, and they found them there. And them that were with them, the others with them, saying, they just burst through the door. You think they just walked in and, you know, like how we walk to church late and dead and dry? Oh, God. You don't understand. You don't understand. If you understand who you're facing, Jesus the King, but you just drag, there's no joy. Oh, it's just church I'm going. I'm going to wait until they stop singing and clapping their hands. You're missing the gravy. Are you listening to what I'm saying now? Oh, well, I won't be a part. I won't get very deep. You got one foot in and one out. I said, I won't get very deep. I just want to have a little bit of God and a little bit of the world. You know, you have a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of that. I don't want to get too much now. Too much religion. This is not religion. This is not religion. That's your mistake. This life. This bread. Hallelujah. This is the life of God. You don't know what you're missing. Saying, here's what they did now. They have a message. They had the message of the kingdom. Because 1 Corinthians 15 tells you, if Christ be not risen from the dead, your faith is vain, your preaching is vain. If he didn't rise from the dead, all your work is in vain. You're still in your sin. But now is Christ risen. And became that first fruits of them that slept, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. That's it. Do you have that burning? Do you have something that when you go there, the Lord is risen. I know he's alive. And because he lives, we live also. Because he lives, the kingdom of God is going to be established upon the earth. He's alive. Woo! He's alive. Jesus is alive. Amen. So when you preach, you don't understand. We ought to preach more about Jesus than we preach about Babylon or the beast. Because you can talk about the Antichrist, the man of sin, all you want to. And nobody ain't going to change. But it's, sir, we would see Jesus. But when you show them that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, they don't have to be afraid of the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin. Because we've got a weapon. We've got the whole armor of God. And you put it on that you might resist every force, every attack of the devil. But we become devil conscious and focused when the Lord said, just rebuke him and he'll flee. Don't entertain him. Don't tell him how great he is because he's fallen. But I know one. A greater that stepped into the strong man's house and bind the strong man. And today the devil is bound. And one verse of scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8, I think, that just deal with the Antichrist from start to finish. And we worry about things that, and focus on things that doesn't need to be focused on so much. What we need to get is a focus on Jesus. When you see Jesus Christ, something is going to burn in your heart. And that fear is going to leave you. Let me begin to wind it down. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and I appeared to Simon Peter. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. See that? In the bread, and as often as you do that, a little symbol, we break the bread today. We're breaking the word of God, and the eyes of your understanding are being opened. You're getting to know the Lord, whom to know is life. And they told, next verse, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself, look at that now, stood in the midst of that. The same time while they're talking, here comes Jesus. He comes from every direction. He surrounds you. He's there with you. He's ahead of you. And then he's with you. Wherever you go. And there came Jesus. A confirmation. When you begin to break the word of God, guess what's going to happen? Tell them he's risen. Guess what? He's going to come. And there came Jesus. Hello. Hello. I don't care if the dead, the church was dead. And they're discouraged. But when you begin to listen to the broken word and eat it, there came Jesus. My, my, my. When you talk of the resurrection of Jesus, he's going to show up. And we need to get back to the resurrection, not just at only Easter time, but every day. And we talk so much about Babylon that we forgot Jesus, the destroyer. Mama, he's the strong man that enter into the devil's house and bind him and tear it down. Why should I talk so much about a fallen house? Let's talk about the house that destroys the beast and fill all the earth. That's the kingdom of God. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, hello, peace be unto you. Why are you so upset? Why are you so mad? Why are you so upset at the word of God? Peace, calm down. Relax, I'm alive. He's alive. But they were terrified. Look at that. If God ever begin to move in you, somebody say, oh, no, I don't know if that's God or not. Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm scared to go forward in God. I'm scared to receive that. I know he was dead. I'm not sure if he's alive. Yes, he's alive. And he has not given you the spirit of fear. They were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit, a ghost. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts, there it is, arise in your heart? The word of God, the resurrection, the kingdom will get rid of those thoughts, will open your eyes and black those thoughts out. Come on, are you listening now? Are you looking? Are you looking? Then he says, behold my hands. There it is, here's the evidence. Here's the nail-scarred hand. Behold my hands. And he hold his feet up. Put it up and say, look at my feet. My hands are my feet. That is I. It's me. Myself. Handle me. Come on. That's it. Handle him. Don't be handling the world, the things of the world. But handle Jesus. Handle him. Talk about him. Love him. Go all over. Get wrapped up, tied up, bundled up in Jesus. And we've been bundled up too long in Babylon. And we're curious about Babylon. What about the New Jerusalem that came down from God out of heaven? That's the Bible. Remember now, Moses the prophets, and the Psalms. Not just one little section of the Bible. You're not the body. We are the body. Behold my hands and my feet. That is I, myself. Honor me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Next verse. What a chapter. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Next verse. And while they yet believe not, someone is saying, for joy. Have you ever seen somebody get excited and when Auntie Sue show up and they, I can't believe it. They see Auntie Sue, woo, Auntie Sue. Now it's changing. And wondered. And he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb warmth. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in, there it goes, the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Next verse. Then open he their understanding that they might what? Understand the scriptures. Notice, it's the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms that we need to open up our understanding. Otherwise, we are all blind. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He's alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is alive. He swallowed up death. He swallowed up the grave. He swallowed up the devil. Hey. You want to know what happened to the devil? You want to know what happened to the beast? Read Revelation 19. Read Revelation 20. See what happened to the devil. My God. But read Revelation 21. And you'll see something new. Coming down from God out of heaven. Adorned as a bride. You get excited about that. And you focus on that. And you spend more time talking about Jesus than talking about the beast. Yeah. Or who is Babylon or who is not Babylon. Yeah. Amen. Are you still there? Yeah. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, where? Beginning at Jerusalem. But for you, Mercedes, you're Jerusalem. And you are your witnesses of these things. Why? Because it's breaking. You see the wounds, the scars. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city, Jerusalem, until you be endued with what? Power from on high. Because it's the Holy Ghost that was going to bring the kingdom. The birth of the kingdom. So the kingdom started really at Pentecost. But it puts the church in. But the church is a temporary vessel that God used to take us to the kingdom while the Jews, Israel, is still in rebellion. But then he's going to bring back Jews and Gentiles together, and he's going to make us all one, and he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, the nail scarred hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Go on. And they worshiped. Are you with me now? Look what they did. We're still worshiping him. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple, in church, coming to church, not missing, skipping, hopping, jumping, leaping, leaving. Staying, right? They were all doing that. Come on, you've got to settle down. Praising and blessing God. Somebody say, amen. Woo! Hallelujah. My God. Amen, somebody. Somebody shout.